It's a fucking lockdown. Mass hysteria. Mass hysteria.
We know things are bad, worse than bad. They're crazy. It's like everything everywhere is going crazy, so we don't go out anymore.
It's the end of the world as we know it. It's the end of the world as we know it.
But don't let me touch you.
That where'd that come from?
It came from YouTube, like all these terrible coronavirus songs do. And this is Staying Inside, and it's obviously a Bee Gees parody by Brent McCullough. Spectacular, fellas. The video's funny. It's just wow. Typically a bunch of people on like Zoom, or they've recorded themselves all in like pajama pants jamming in in separate places, which seems to be the thing now. I mean, this is the wonderful world of entertainment we live in now, where musicians are just like jamming in their pajama pants. How's it going, everybody? Welcome to another episode of the show. I am Tom, here with Catherine. Hey, Catherine.
Hi.
How you doing?
I'm still groggy from my nap earlier.
Yeah, I actually joined you on that nap. We're going to get into that in a minute. For those of you who have been listening to the show, we've been trying to drop these weekly. This is our, again, fourth episode. The date is April 8th, 2020, and this is day 26 of our quarantine. And, for those of you who are still out there alive and listening, I hope you're all alive, and I hope all the people you know are alive. The coronavirus still is gripping our country. We're still in the throes of everything, from the news. It's apparently us getting into kind of the stretch of the bad period here in the country. We're seeing the death toll skyrocket, cases as well. I checked today. Coronavirus cases are 420,000. Deaths are going to top 14,000, over 14,000 deaths today. That's a pretty sobering number.
That's just U.S., right?
That is just in the U.S. In the world, I believe there are over a million cases. And I don't know exactly what the death toll is. I would have to check my my scoreboard app, as I deemed it last episode. I don't know. Every day is like every other day. I made the joke, I think, earlier where, you know, I don't think there should be Monday through Sunday. It's just day now. You know, it really doesn't have to have an actual title. All the days kind of feel the same. But life still goes on, and we're making it work here in quarantine. And like Catherine said earlier, we have definitely adopted the nap. The nap is a big part of our lives now, and there's no shame to it. I'm sure you at home are finding time to nap. Why not? Fill some time, rest you up, and I don't know, it's a win-win.
Yeah, I think I might have napped every day last week. And so far this week, yesterday, I didn't nap, but that's the only day I can think of in recent memory that I didn't nap.
Yeah. I haven't been a typical napper during this whole thing, but as of recent, I've found some time to nap, and it's incredibly enjoyable. This nap went a little longer than I wanted it to. It was the typical, I'm going to lay down and just close my eyes for, it's always like 20 minutes, and I feel like it was at least a solid 45 to an hour nap.
Yeah, I don't exactly find it enjoyable. It's just this thing where I finish eating lunch and I look around and I go, well, I think I'm just going to lean back and close my eyes. And then it's 2 hours later.
Yeah. I mean, I literally had dreams in my nap.
Oh,
I mean,
yeah.
I dreamed some weird shit.
I got up to pee like three different times and went back to sleep. That was was today.
That's a definite skill. Ooh. To drift even back into a deeper sleep state, especially in a nap. But yeah, I mean, definitely been napping. And it feels good. I mean, I just guess I generally get tired. And why the hell not? I have no guilt for napping. Who cares?
Yeah, it's like a survival mechanism for me. It's like just basically get through the day, essentially. Just, hey, you got nothing to do? Close your eyes.
On the last show, we talked about us sleeping late, and that had been kind of a problem that was plaguing us. Really, kind of the week after the whole state of emergency happened and the quarantine started, we noticed ourselves kind of hanging in bed longer, sleeping later. And we've remedied that, I would say, so far this week. We both kind of made a pact to each other and said, look, this week we're going to set an alarm and we're going to get out of bed. And we decided 9 o'clock was a good time to arise and start our day. And so far, we've been doing pretty good. We've been getting up 9 o'clock every day. And I've definitely noticed a difference. Been kind of wrapping up earlier in the mid-afternoon, around 3 o'clock, in the 3-4 o'clock range. And it's been a good feeling. I'm not saying that I'm going to be hitting the 6 a.m. wake-up time in the next couple of weeks, but I think we're aiming to eventually keep scaling it back until we're getting up like normal human beings, or like how we used to kind of a semblance of our old lives.
Something like that. Yeah, 9 is pretty good. 8 might be better. But, you know, we do also stay up late watching lots of Netflix shows and stuff. So 9 o'clock is pretty good because you can stay up until about 1 and still get up at 9 pretty comfortably.
I agree. I think that is kind of our tradition is we'll typically kind of wind out the night in the bedroom. We have a TV in there. And yeah, we'll watch a couple of shows and then get tired. We've both been actually meditating, which has been something we've done. I've actually been doing it since the beginning of the year, kind of just a healthy habit I wanted to add to my life. And I try to, you know, add that in for, I was doing 20 minutes and was pretty proud of myself, but I feel as of recent, I've been so tired, I've been falling asleep during the meditation. So I just find myself like completely falling asleep. I want to get back into that, but that's always something we add on to the end of the night. And then usually I'm just hitting the pillow and passing out. Pretty hardcore. I've also just been like, I noticed that I've been, because of the good sleep I've been getting during this whole situation, I have been dreaming very weird dreams, and I dream like a ton of different dreams in a night. It's like turning the channel on a TV. You're just like, wow, another weird dream, another one. And I get up to pee in the middle of the night, so it's like same thing. I get up and I go back and lay down, and it's like another different weird dream.
You know, I actually read an article about that recently, and I don't know how true this is. I'm no doctor, but in the article, it was saying that actually indicates, first of all, that's not unique. A lot of people said that during coronavirus quarantines, they've been having lots of weird dreams that they're really waking up and remembering. And I read that, you know, in this article, it said that basically it's a lack of quality of sleep, that if you are having quality sleep, you may not remember your dreams, though you're dreaming, you know, during your REM or whatever. But if you wake up and remember them, that you may not have been sleeping with as much quality, I guess.
Well, if that's the case, I've been getting absolute shit sleep since the beginning of this, because I feel like sometimes I'm waking up and I'm remembering them, and I'm even finding myself thinking about them midday, the day after, like, that was a weird dream. Why was that person in my dream? And what the hell did it all mean? You know, you definitely kind of pick at your dreams and think to yourself, well, what was there, some secret fucking meaning? my weird subconscious talking to me in my sleep?
Yeah, I did. I've had a few weird ones too. But yeah.
Yeah. But that's, I'm sure everybody's getting hopefully some good sleep. God knows we have enough time for it. Ever since we talked last week, I had a birthday. I want to bring that up. I turned 38 on Saturday. April 4th was my birthday.
Happy birthday, Tom.
Thank you, Catherine. Belated, I guess. But we had a really nice weekend. You know, obviously, this was a stranger birthday for me. It was a birthday in quarantine. I kept making the joke, calling it my sweet COVID-19 birthday. And, you know, obviously, we were here at the house, but we really did make the most of it. We ordered some food, which was different for us. We kind of, since the quarantine stuff started, we had been going to the grocery store and just cooking in, even on the weekends where we would usually go out. And we got some good food. We got some sweets. We actually ordered from, I don't know if it was,
Da Vinci Donuts.
Yes, Da Vinci Donuts. Was it Uber Eats or?
That one was DoorDash.
Yeah, I think we use one or two different services. But yeah, we got some donuts. I guess we're kind of the equal to a birthday cake. Stuck a candle in it. Did a FaceTime with my parents in Massachusetts. They sang happy birthday to me. I thought that was a special little treat. We got some barbecue that night, which was really good. Got some ribs. I was pretty happy to have some ribs. So we basically kind of splurged. We also drank a little more than usual. Had some mix of different things. Had some liquor drinks. We had some beer. What else did we have?
I think that was it. That was pretty much it.
Yeah, Moscow Mules had some scotch.
And beers.
Yeah, and it really was a nice birthday. I had friends reach out to me, too. I got to video chat with my buddies in Orlando, Ray and Clay, for a little bit. My buddy Pete from New Jersey reached out to me later in the night. So, again, just made the most of being kind of in lockdown for my birthday, whereas in the past we've typically either, I don't know, gone out to eat and spent the day out doing something that was fun, but it just kind of goes to show that no matter the circumstances, you can still have fun. And we definitely did. And thanks, Catherine. Oh, I know what? Catherine made me some really bomb French toast. I want to thank you for that,
too. Oh, yeah. I forgot about that.
It was really delicious, like restaurant-quality French toast. That was a really nice breakfast. But that was Saturday, and that was my 38th birthday. I'll remember that one forever. But that was cool. Also, since we last talked, we braved the grocery store. We went back to the grocery store, but this time we did it a little differently. We actually used an online grocery store service at our local grocery store, Kroger's, something Catherine found, and it was actually pretty flawless. We had kind of talked about maybe not wanting to go back in the grocery stores, all these reports coming out recently of like, well, you shouldn't go to the grocery store in these next 2 weeks because it's going to be peak, blah, blah, blah. And so, yeah, Catherine found this way to do our shopping online.
I think it was always available, but okay. We just had never done it before.
Yeah, and it was just, I thought it was a great experience. It was actually pretty flawless. I think, when did we order the groceries? We ordered them actually later last week.
Yeah, I think in normal times you can order, you know, like even the night before, but now you've got to have several days leeway. So we ordered like Thursday or something, and we picked up on Monday.
Yeah, we did. And so the system was basically like we ordered, they reached out to her before we left. They said, hey, we didn't have these certain things. They substituted things, kind of similar to like a Instacart or I guess like Amazon Fresh, if people use that in certain cities. And obviously with this whole coronavirus thing, we basically like went to the grocery store. They had these little like pull up areas, like these little designated spots. You pulled up. There was a phone number you called. Catherine called. They said, cool, someone's going to come out, open your trunk. Someone will come out, put the groceries in. You're just responsible for shutting your trunk. And lo and behold, person came out, did all that, shut the trunk, and voila. And it was a good experience. I would definitely do it again. I don't know what you thought about it.
Oh, yeah, definitely. It was better than walking around a grocery store worried about touching everything. So, I mean, we got the groceries home and cleaned them for the first time since this whole thing started. I've been reluctant to do that, but, man, it's gotten to the point where I feel like if I don't, I just look at everything in my kitchen like with fear, you know? So I was glad that we actually went ahead and cleaned everything. We got the Lysol spray out and cleaned everything as we put it away.
Yeah, you had a great system. Basically, Catherine was kind of the cleaner. She had like a solution and like a rag and would clean all the boxes and, you know, the cartons of milk. And I was the one putting everything away. And she's right, because before we had kind of read something and also had saw a video of a guy online, like, was he a nurse or something, talking about how you should properly clean your groceries?
That pissed a lot of people off, though. That pissed a lot of experts off. They said, this is silly. You don't need to do it, especially this way. But yeah, he made me feel like I could be doing more.
Well, anyway, I mean, we did do more. And before, I think that was always the thing, was once that got in my head, I can't tell you how many times I would just go in the pantry, pick a box up. Or like, for instance, I wanted to have some cashews. So I grabbed the thing of cashews, I then pour the cashews into a bowl, put it back. I got to wash my hands. Then instances of like fruit where I'm touching like a banana and then I'm peeling the banana, wash my hands, touch something else. I mean, I would have washed my hands three or four different times just out of my my own fear. And I think this was just a little bit of an alleviation of that.
Yeah, I don't know if it's like false security, and it might be because, you know, did I really get all the germs? Did we let it sit for a long enough amount of time to disinfect? Who knows? But yeah. I feel a little better about it. And like, it's making the kitchen less of a nightmare for me. So I guess that's good.
I think that's true. And I think, you know, it's hard to try to put your best foot forward and be conscious of this stuff nowadays, but it's kind of essential. And that's another thing I want to talk about, was the ideas of trying to stay healthy during all this. I mean, I'm curious what other people are doing in their confinement to stay healthy. I know that for us, we try to stay active. We try to walk every day, obviously weather permitted. That's great because we can take our dog out, who's a Labradoodle and always has to burn off her energy anyway. We have kind of routines that we like to do. We're very fortunate that we have a home gym that is something that we've always had as a couple in our places that we've lived. And, you know, just kinds of good nutrition. I started doing this thing, I think I started last week, just because I had read about it, and I have a funny story to tell about it. Actually, as a precursor and a warning to people if you try it, but I've been trying this vitamin C powder, and it's just ascorbic acid, and it's just pure vitamin C powder. And I had read about people taking vitamin C in capsules and how the potency is very less because of the, because I don't know exactly the science behind it, but it was just less because they were taking it in a capsule form, and it was better to take it in powder. So I saw this thing online, and that you can take the powder with water. So I did it. I tried it out. The one kind of precursor that was, told to me was, hey, you should take this with...
Told to you?
Well, on a video. I had watched this video of this doctor from Wuhan who spoke about it and had said...
I love that this is your expert, too. Go ahead.
I know, right? Well, after now this whole current events of China possibly lying about stuff, hopefully this guy isn't lying, but he said they found vitamin C to be kind of a good thing to be taking during this time to strengthen your immune system. I said, why not? So basically what it is you basically take two scoops of it with 4 cups of water. So each sitting is two cups of water and a scoop of this vitamin C powder. But the warning was that you have to be careful and drink it slowly over time because it's a diuretic, meaning basically it gives you diarrhea. So I don't know when it was.
Well, never mind. Usually diuretic means it just makes you pee a lot. Like tea is a diuretic. It makes you pee. So
I wonder if poop is in that category too.
No. Go ahead though.
So anyway, I had taken it and, you know, the first couple days I took it, I was fine and I was taking it slowly. And then I don't know what day it was. It was a nice day. We went for a walk and I made the mistake of we had just gotten some coffees.
It was
Sunday.
Yeah, it must have been.
I think it was after the birthday.
Yeah.
Our precursor, it was saying I ate really well the day before. I also had gotten a iced coffee, and I had mixed my first two glasses of it, put my powder in, stirred it up, took a tiny sip, you know, and I said, okay, I got to start drinking this earlier on. Drank it, and we went for the walk. Well, to my peril, halfway in our walking point, I turned around.
Which, by the way, is a mile and a half from home.
A mile and a half from home. And it hit me like a fucking wrecking ball. Like, I have had to take emergency shits in my life. When I tell you, and Catherine can attest to this, it was absolutely horrendous. I had to walk, painfully walk, all the way back to my house. There was one point we were walking. I said, I got to slow down. And then the whole time I'm walking, I'm rubbing my stomach, trying to ease myself. Catherine says, there's an outhouse up here. Maybe you should just go.
A porta potty.
Yeah, I'm sorry, an outhouse. Like there's a big fucking moon carved in it. A porta potty. She says, well, why don't you just go in the porta potty? And then we both were like, is that smart? It's a god. It would be probably the fucking coronavirus trap in there. So I said, no, I'm going to brave it. I actually walked home with a flop sweat. And when I tell you, it was like absolute mad dash to the bathroom. And it was bad. And
he left the door open. He ran ahead of me. I had to follow behind. He left all the doors open, the keys in the lock.
There was kicked my shoes off. I mean, it was brutal. So I will say, lesson learned, if you try that method, just be smart about it and eat. Have had eaten already. drink your coffee, and then start it.
I'm not doing this madness. I said no fucking way. So that's all you.
Thank you. Okay. I will bear that cross. But that's one of the things I guess I've been doing to stay healthy, that kind of new supplement. Another thing we do too, we've done this for a while, is we've been taking this liquid turmeric. Is it turmeric or turmeric? We always have this argument.
We don't have this argument. I think it's turmeric.
Turmeric, right. But basically, it's that kind of chalky orange substance, and it's supposed to be really good for inflammation,
well,
gut inflammation, and
in
your
its
immune
ground
system.
Form. You know that, like, turmeric itself looks like almost like ginger. It's like got a moisture to it. It's like a root.
Oh, I've never seen it in its native form. I've only seen it in the powder, and I've seen it in this liquid that we do. We do
I
like 15
to,
milligrams.
I used
of
to
it
buy
a
it in Orlando. Oh. You can get it at Freshfield Market. Is that what it's called? Freshfield?
No, that was Freshfield no. Farms.
Freshfield
Shout out
Farms,
to Freshfield
yeah.
Farms. Definitely missed that place.
Yeah, you could get a lot of turmeric there, but or turmeric, whatever the fuck.
Oh, see? Tomato, tomato.
I don't know. But yeah, so I did used to buy it that way, but it's, and it'll color your fingers. It's like super orange yellow.
Because it's a spice, right? It's typically
well,
put
it's a
into
root.
Things.
It's like ginger.
Right. And it's a very particular flavor. And anyway, you know, I've read things about that as well. And we do take that. So that's kind of our little nutrition bomb that we try to do every day. And obviously with my vitamin C powder, who knows? It could all be just doing nothing. Or I'm one of the last people that live on Earth because I was smart and took supplements. Mm. No, that's not true. All right. I got another thing here. I want to talk about some
Man,
of the...
Man, you're on a roll.
I am on a roll.
I was going to talk about something. I haven't had a moment to breathe here, though.
Oh, sorry. Go ahead. Yes, please
yeah,
do talk
great.
About something.
On the subject of like trying to stay healthy, you know, I was talking to my mom last week, actually, and she's like the original germaphobe. She's where I get it all from. Like we would, when I was a kid, we'd come out of a doctor's office and she'd immediately make us put out our hands and she'd pour alcohol, you know, like rubbing alcohol on them. It doesn't hurt or anything. But she would, I mean,
if
she
you have
was
a
like,
cut, it hurts.
She was the ultimate, you know, instructor of dealing with germs. And so I was talking to her recently and we both feel the same way. It's been so difficult. You just know because our brains work the way they do and we see the germs everywhere and we see how you transfer from one thing to the other thing. And now you open the door with your elbow, but now you scratch your elbow. Now it's on your fingers. You know, it's like we see them, you know, in our minds and you just know you're fucking it up. Like and there's only so much you can do because you're a human. So there's this thing where, you know, for sure that you are not doing this right. And yet you really can't do any better. And it is frustrating as hell. I remember I blew up at you in the kitchen the other day. You had your, well, blew up may not be right, but.
Nah, that's pretty right.
Well, it was your birthday. I think I wasn't super mean about it, but I was like, oh my God, what are you doing? You moved the donut box. We had put a towel down to protect the counter and everything from the donut box. And then you had moved the box without the towel. And it was so easy to just pick up the towel, too. But you hadn't done it. And I'm like, oh.
It was a
And
lapse.
I could just see. And yeah. I know that if you had thought of it, you wouldn't have done it. And I'm just, I can just see the fucking germs spreading as they're spreading. And there is nothing you can do.
It's just like that scene in Outbreak when, you know, the guy's tired and, oh, boop, rips a hole in his suit. Oh. Now he's got the fucking, you know,
I guess.
The it's African
more,
virus.
It's more like that scene that went around on the internet a week or 2 weeks ago, 3 weeks ago, who the fuck knows, what is time? the Scrubs scene where the germs are, they've lit them up green and one kid coughs into his hand and he shakes somebody else's
How
hand
it transfers.
And then they pat an old lady on the back and she touches her chest and then she, you know, I mean, it's that, you know, my brain works like that and I just see them everywhere and there's nothing you can do because you are a human.
And it's
like,
hard and you're going to have moments where you falter and you don't remember.
You will. And I'll have moments where I falter and I go, well, I fucked that up.
Right.
But what am I going to really walk half a mile back to the house to wash my hands right now? No. So I fucked it up and that's that.
Yeah, it's like little shit we do every day. Like I've burned it into my head to now open the door to our apartment complex with my elbow. I do the elbow hip
yeah.
check to open the door kind of thing.
Yeah.
But yeah, there's definitely times where in the past I had grabbed it with my freaking hand and then I'm thinking on the whole walk, my hand's a hot zone if it's on there.
And then I'll scratch my eyebrow and then you're like, how fast does it travel? I only have 30 minutes to get back home. And I did the same thing today, though, but I had a cut on my elbow so that once I opened the door, then I was like, ow, and I touched my elbow, and I'm like, you fucker.
You
like,
transferred
you just
it.
Did it. You might as well touch the fucking handle.
You should be sleeping in another room tonight, actually, now that I think about it.
Okay, so here's another thing. This is random as hell, and I don't know the answer to this. I have not done any research, so this is an open-ended question with no information involved.
Good. We like those.
How fast does this virus travel? Okay, I know how small it is. Like, they've talked about how, like, on a grain of rice or something, or salt. It was a grain of salt. You could fit, like, I don't know, 10 bacterium or whatever on the side of a grain of salt.
One side?
Yeah.
How many sides does a grain of salt have?
Doesn't matter. You're just talking about size, scale, right?
Okay.
But that you could fit like 100 viruses. So it's like super small. It's so much smaller than bacteria even. Oh, no, it wasn't. I think it was skin cells. You could fit 10. I don't know. Basically, it's smaller than skin cells, smaller than bacteria.
By
a lot. But okay, you scratch your face because they don't say don't touch your nose or mouth or eyes. They say don't touch your face.
Yes.
So let's say you scratch your cheek. How fast is that little fucker moving to get into your nose and down your throat to make more of itself? Like, is there speed involved? I've got questions.
Yeah, that's a great question. And I think it's even creepier that their innate purpose is to go and like get in your nose, get in your mouth, and just basically get in your body and fuck you up.
Well, yeah, they're even less complicated than bacteria. Bacteria have, you know, cell structures, I think. I don't know much about this at all, and somebody is going to definitely make fun of me, but they're more related to like human cells. You know, they have structures that are similar to to our cells. They're cellular structures. I don't know. But viruses are just little reproduction machines. That's all they do. They're just a little, they're a little thing inside of a casing that go and make more of itself. That's all it does.
So they just like get into little virus orgies all the time.
They open up your cell and turn it into a machine to make more virus cells.
That's wild.
More
so they're kind of rapey.
Cells? I don't know.
Sense.
Are they cells? I don't know.
Yeah.
That's a weird way to put it. Trigger warning. Anyway, so is there speed? I don't know. Does somebody have an answer for this?
We should look that up.
I don't think anybody's asking this question. I think I'm the only idiot.
Maybe Dr. Fauci knows, and he's going to talk about it the next
I should email
press
him.
Conference. Yeah, you know, you're close on a personal basis with him.
Yeah.
Very interesting
All
stuff.
All right, what's next on your list, Tom?
Let me refer to the list, Catherine.
Well, hold on. We've been at this for a while. Should we maybe consider some questions?
We're almost there. I think we should move to questions. I had like one. Okay, all I had left was talking about what we were doing during quarantine, and I wrote down movies, TV, games, and menial tasks and chores.
Okay, yeah, sure.
I think that's the checklist. So, yeah, I mean, I'd love to know what all you've been doing to stay occupied during this quarantine. Like I said, for us, I just read off the list. That's kind of what we've been doing. Movie-wise, we did watch some movies last weekend, obviously for the birthday weekend. Right off the bat, we watched Jesus Rolls.
Ooh, that
and
was so bad.
And it was an absolute dumpster fire of a movie. For those of you who haven't seen it, do not see it if you think it's going to be some kind of joyous sequel to The Big Lebowski. It is absolutely not that.
But if you're looking for a movie that's not exactly porn about threesomes, you should definitely go for
it. Yeah, that's a great summarization of that movie. Weird, because John Turturro is obviously in it reprising his role as Jesus, and he directed it and apparently wrote it, and it's really bad.
I'm so sorry, John. I like you, but wow.
Yeah, it was just bad. It's really strange. All the characters are very hollow, and it just didn't go anywhere.
Zero plot. Like,
zero plot.
Literally zero. At any point, there was no motivation for any character for anything except fucking and stealing.
Perfect. Great review. The next movie we watched was Downhill. It's a adaptation from either a Dutch or a French film that was basically the same exact plot. It was Will Ferrell, Julia Louis-Dreyfus, a bunch of other funny comedians about a family that goes to a ski resort, and Will Ferrell plays the husband, and there's like this kind of controlled avalanche that almost kills the family, and he like flees them, and that's like the big crux of the whole movie, is like the fact that he kind of bailed on his family. And it's a dark comedy, but I liked it. It definitely I kind of wish I watched that before the Jesus Rolls, but...
Yeah, I'm actually surprised you liked it. I liked it, but it's the kind of movie I would watch. I was surprised that you connected with it. It's very relationship-centered. It's got mm-hmm. a little humor in it because, obviously, the two of them are hilarious.
They're great.
But it's very much like a sort of an introspective look at this relationship. So that was interesting that you connected. I'm glad you did.
No, I did. And I think they're... power together and acting opposite off each other. They're obviously great comedic actors and great, I would say, dramatic actors too. I think they have incredible range, and I liked it. And it was definitely through and through. It had serious moments, but all the other characters were very funny. It was very well written, and it just zinged in all the right places. I thought it was good. So out of those two movies, I'd say check out Downhill. And if you want to be disappointed or see John Turturro's hairy ass, watch the Jesus Rolls.
Speaking of good acting, I doubt this was on your list to talk about, but I want to talk about it. We have been watching, for me it's a rewatch, Killing Eve. And speaking of great acting, I forgot how fucking great this show is. Have you been enjoying it as much as I am?
I got to be honest, I really have been enjoying it. And you know what? It was on my list because next was TV. And that was my number one thing to talk about was Killing Eve.
Really?
Yeah, it was a show that you watched without me at first.
Yeah.
And
because I think you thought you weren't going to like it. But my God, it's good.
It's really good. It's really well written. It's very fast paced. The characters, you really get into the characters. You like the characters immediately.
I think what it does so well, it is fast paced, but it's not like an action show or something, and it's not like a procedural crime show either, but a lot happens every episode. I kind of forgot that each episode moves the story forward a lot.
It's
so
great.
You're never wanting for like, oh, that was about nothing. Man, every episode really does move forward, but you also have these like slow moments with the characters where you laugh, and mm-hmm. it's like this real dark humor. And you get to know them, like you said. Man, what a fucking show.
And it has lots of different ups and downs. It's tragic. It's violent. It has comedic elements. I mean, for those of you who liked Fleabag, I believe Phoebe Waller-Bridge is a big part of Killing Eve.
Yeah, which I didn't know.
Yeah. She wrote, you can feel, I even said that because we had watched Fleabag before.
Also very good.
Which is good. I would check that out too if you want. But, you know, I saw when we were watching Killing Eve, the first season, that her name came up as having written, I think, the first three or two of the episodes, and you could really feel her writing in the characters, which I really did enjoy Fleabag. I enjoy her voice as a writer, and I think it's an interesting dynamic, and she adds a lot to Killing Eve because of it.
Yeah, I think she produces the whole show. I'm not really sure her total involvement. I haven't looked it up, but yeah, and the characters are just so well-rounded. You really,
yeah,
you're rooting for the villain as well as the hero.
Oh, the villain's so good.
She's brilliant. Oh, my God. I just totally, absolutely, 100% stand by that show. What a great show.
Yeah, she's honestly one of the most adorable, lovable psychopaths
and
you're ever
going to
see.
And she's terrifying. She's fucking terrifying.
Yeah, definitely check out Killing Eve. Next that I had on the list that I've been enjoying is Better Call Saul this season. We've been watching it. I know Catherine didn't really check it out in the past, but she's been watching it with me at night. Great season this year.
You caught me up. What season is it now?
Oh, boy. Four or five, maybe five.
So the previous four or whatever, I hadn't watched. And so in the first few episodes, you had a lot of explaining to do, but now I'm totally caught up. And
yeah,
it is
I'm glad
fun.
You're liking it. Yeah, it's just a good season. It's really hit its stride. I think it really hit its stride last season. But yeah, Bob Odenkirk's awesome, great character development. And again, it's just one of those things where it keeps you on the edge of your seat, keeps you guessing. And for a show that literally spun off of Breaking Bad, it really found its own traction. And if you haven't checked it out, I'd give it a whirl. I know they're all available. I think most of the season's on Netflix. It's a good watch. And then last on my list, that we just started, cause we have kind of gotten into this documentary kick, is we've been watching How to Fix a Drug Scandal on Netflix. And I believe we were trying to feed our Tiger King hunger.
Well,
but it's a little different than Tiger King, obviously.
That's what people online said. That was a thing that I read in more than one place, which was like, if you enjoyed Tiger King, watch this next, which I completely do not understand.
I don't get that.
I mean, I'm enjoying
yeah.
the documentary, but it has no thread to me at all with Tiger King.
Yeah, exactly. I don't see how it really is even close to Tiger King. It's got a whole different pace. It is a crazy story. that did happen in Massachusetts, I feel, God, at this point, maybe 5 or 6 years ago. But, you know, if you're into that kind of stuff and you want something that's obviously cinematic and, you know, it pulls on all those strings, and we're going to definitely finish it. I think we're like 3 episodes in.
Something like that, I think 2, but yeah.
Yeah, so that's basically entertainment-wise what we've been doing. Menial tasks and chores. When we said last week that we wanted to get up early, another thing we wanted to try to add to our day, making our days longer, obviously, was kind of checking things off our list that we've been wanting to do around the house. One of the things that we actually did yesterday, which was kind of a bigger chore than we had anticipated, and I would say this, all you Florida people will never have to deal with this because you have one style of wardrobe. But basically what we did...
Coming from Florida, this is so new and weird to me, by the way. Go ahead.
What we did is we changed out our winter wardrobe with our summer wardrobe.
What a fucking task.
It was a task.
I don't miss having just one closet full of shit and that's it.
Yeah.
Or I do miss. What?
I think like what we had done before is because we... Ever since we've moved to Georgia and been up here, we've had kind of the seasons, you know? So we'll have a typical a winter, a spring, a summer, and a fall. And so we've had to kind of accumulate, you know, different kinds of wardrobes, long sleeves, short sleeves. And we actually had to store a lot of our stuff in big bins over the wintertime.
Well, I was going to say, you know... To be completely honest, when we first moved here, obviously we just had Florida things. We just had short sleeves and stuff. And we actually moved here in the summer. So that worked. And plus, we had just 5 or so months prior had a fire. So we didn't have very much in the way of like wardrobe, just some things. So when we moved up here with our summer stuff, okay, great. Put it in the closet, all set. Now winter comes around. Okay, fuck. Now you've got to, I need some bigger, thicker socks. I need some vests. I need
multiple
sweaters,
jackets, yeah.
Raincoats, because it rains like a fucker around here. Finally accumulated a lot of that stuff the first year. And I don't know why. I guess just a matter of accumulation. When it just turned winter this most recent time. So I guess, you know, a few months ago. 6 months ago was the first time we didn't have enough room in our closets. We were like, man, we got to get some of this shit out of here.
Oh yeah.
So we've only done the transition, at least me, I've only done the transition once so far from winter to summer. And the summer stuff is small. It's little tank tops and shorts.
Right.
And it all goes into a bin and no big deal.
It compresses easily.
Yeah. Oh my God.
Winter shit does not do that.
Oh my God. It was like a fucking volcanic explosion on our
crazy.
Bed of shit that had to be put away. And my life feels a lot cleaner now.
Yeah, it
like,
was great.
You know, everything in my closet makes sense. I can wear everything that's in there. It's not big, bulky sweaters when it's 90 degrees outside. But what a nightmare. I can't believe people do this everywhere all the time.
Oh, being from the Northeast, it's a tradition. You just got to get used to it. And like I told you, I mean, it was just more or less like, I mean, as a kid growing up, I had kind of my entire closet was kind of one end would be all the heavy stuff and then the short sleeve stuff. And it was a big switcheroo, you
and
know,
that
every
makes
season.
Sense. That's what we were doing here for a while. You just put the heavy stuff in the back
just
and
got
move
so
the other
overwhelming.
Stuff forward. But
ugh.
Yeah, too much stuff, maybe? I don't know.
Well, I was glad I shed a lot of stuff. I just got rid of stuff, made some Goodwill bags, tossed a lot of stuff in there. That felt kind of liberating. And, you know, it was nice. It kind of broke down the wardrobe, and that was done. But that was a good menial task and chore. Hopefully we can, you know, pick a few more in the coming weeks, months of this quarantine and get them done.
Yeah. Yeah, I think that was why I didn't nap yesterday. So I need more things like that to do to
replace
keep
the
me
naps.
From napping. Yeah.
Good deal. Well, we're getting to that point in the show. Let's break out our old Boxo questions here, and we can end our show with that. I kind of forget where we're pulling from, just randomly.
No, I got this.
For those of you who have not listened to the show, we try to do this thing. We play this game, which is called Table Topics, where we just pull these little topic cards, and we each answer a question. I think you can get them on Amazon. Maybe I'll put the link in the show description if
I can
find it.
Are you getting, fees from this, from selling these cards?
Maybe you can help with that. Maybe we can.
You
can,
should
you
be.
Can help
Jeez.
Us. God knows I need some money. No, I'm just kidding. All right, here we go. What did you learn from your parents about marriage?
Oh, wow. I mean, everything I know. My parents have been married a long time, and they're still married and they still seem to really like each other. So everything I know about relationships really comes from them. They're a solid couple.
They are.
Neither of them is perfect, and yet they still love each other.
Yeah, I think my parents, they're definitely kind of, they got the whole soulmate thing going on. I can see why they've been together for such a long period of time. I've always really taken from that. I think a lesson I've always learned and I try to apply it to us is, you know, no matter how mad you get at your partner or, you know, if you fight or yell at each other, you always try to find the time to talk about it and make up and patch it up. You know, my parents always did that. Not that they always fought, but they were always very fair. And, you know, as a kid observing it, you're just kind of like, oh, is mommy and daddy mad at each other? But, you know, they definitely found ways to mend it.
Yeah, we talked about that after we watched that movie Downhill, and I won't spoil anything to give specifics, but basically just there were several things in that movie where we looked at each other just like, at least we don't do that. Like, man, that would really fuck shit up.
That is true.
So, yeah. All right. What have you lost since childhood that you would like to regain?
Wow.
I take this to be an item or something else. I don't know.
Yeah. Or I guess could it be a trait?
Why not?
I'll
go first. Yeah, I would say my creativity.
Cool.
And just the freeness of like creativity. I wrote things and wrote poems and stories and drew, even though I was a terrible, you know, artist.
Yeah.
I miss that freedom of creativity. I think that goes for everybody. Everybody gets older and you drop that, but man, I do miss that.
Yeah, I would say I'm on the same lines. I'd say some of my imagination. I always had a wild imagination as a kid, and I could kind of occupy my time for a long period of time, again, doing whether it be creative things or when you're even littler, playing with toys and shit like that. You could always pass time, and I mean, obviously, I'm not playing with toys. I collect toys. I don't play with them. Maybe I should play with the toys more.
Yeah, I think that would give them some fucking purpose.
Would you be weirded out if you just went into the office and I was playing with the toys?
I'm kind of weirded out that you own them at all. So I guess whatever you do with all them right. is still
okay.
weird.
Fair enough. Okay. Oh, it's a good one. What's your partner's oddest habit?
Collecting dolls.
All right, bam. There you go. That was too easy for you.
Yeah.
Oddest habit for you?
Well, I'll expand on that, as I have for you many times. I don't understand the collection thing. How does it give you joy just to have a thing? You don't, like you said, if you were playing with them, that's maybe even better and makes more sense to me. I just don't understand.
I think it's possessing. I think it's a mentality, and I think people have a collective mentality. I don't think it's a sickness.
I do.
I think some people just like to collect, whether it's baseball cards or vinyl.
It's hoarding with a nice spin on it. It's hoarding, but you've got them in
hoarding.
You've got them in, you know, display cases that somehow makes it okay, but it's no less weird. It's the same as like when you watch hoarders and they're like, "Why do you need this thing?" And they're like, "I don't know, it reminds me of my child who gave me this paper flower when she was 6 and now it's
covered
in mold."
Well, I'll tell you what,
Catherine,
you get Marie Kondo over here and then maybe we'll see what happens, okay?
But she'd be like, "Does it bring you joy, Tom?" And you'd be like,
"Yes."
And she'd be like, "Fine, whatever.
Get out of my house, Marie Kondo."
Yeah. All right.
Your oddest habit? Oof. Where do I start? No, I don't know. It's actually hard. I don't really think you have... There's nothing really odd about you. You don't really do odd things.
Jeez.
I don't know. I mean, I can't just conjure one up. Odd habit.
Odd.
Help me out here.
I don't know. Prior to this, you probably would have said I was a germaphobe.
Yeah. But you know what? You're standing pretty right now, so...
I'm just tortured.
I feel like you came out on top of that.
I'm just tortured.
Odd. Catherine, odd. I don't know. Honestly, I feel like you get off the hook on that one. I can't really give an odd thing about you.
That sucks.
You're perfect.
Yeah, fuck you.
Next card.
No, you read that one. All right. Do you eat differently when you're alone?
God, when's the last time I was alone?
I'm not with you when you eat breakfast or lunch.
No, I feel like I eat the same. I will say I think we eat more when we're together.
Maybe.
We indulge, we're just like, oh, yeah, let's eat a little more of this. I think we're both like pulling on each other's pleasure centers there that we should have more.
Maybe. Only on like times that we've designated.
Yeah,
like
a cheat day.
But like on dinner, just eating salad, I don't think that's a thing.
Oh, yeah. I don't feel like I like do anything different, like chew differently or anything.
I think I don't know if this is real. It must be real for some people. I think some people eat less, like on dates and stuff. I've heard that talked about. I've never been that kind of person.
Oh, no. I mean, I can remember times going on dates where I would try to be like on my best behavior, like, you know.
Well, that's nice.
Is there something on my face? Am I chewing with my mouth open? You know, I'm not saying I do that like openly, but I would definitely be in my head, you know.
Well,
eating in front
of
a stranger's weird.
Oh, agreed. I tend not to eat. So with, I guess I would say with you, it's like being alone. When I'm with other people, like when we go out with friends, I tend to eat way less because I'm trying to like be involved in whatever. I'm not all that sociable to begin with. So when I'm trying to be sociable, I'm kind of forcing it and it takes me away from my food. Like,
yeah, but you miss out on like the nachos now.
What does that mean?
I don't know. You're not eating as much. So everybody else is going to eat the food.
Yeah.
You do.
Yeah. That happens.
All
That's
right.
For
fair
real.
Enough. Fair enough. All right, I'll pull one. You pull one more, and we're done.
Oh, my gosh. Okay.
Okay. What would our ideal home look like? Like this?
No. My ideal home would be a lot more maybe fancier. I don't know what that even means, though. Like, I see some fancy homes, and I laugh at them. It's, like, super too modern or too whatever, but... I don't know, maybe a little like upgrade somehow. I don't know how to describe it though. What about you?
Yeah, I mean, I only can really compare like either like for instance, I mean, before this whole coronavirus thing even went down, you know, to be honest, we were starting to think about getting a house. We were starting to actually go look at houses. We talked to a realtor. And that was a reality for a little bit, for a hot freaking second.
Real hot.
And you know, from the houses that we saw, it wasn't like there was one house that I fell head over heels in love with and said, I need to have this house. I only can kind of compare houses I like to houses I've been in, houses that we've rented in the past. I always think of the layout of Benton Street, which is one of our real old houses, is a really nice house. Granted, it was a little bit older. I liked kind of the bigger rooms. I liked the screened-in porch. I liked the in-ground pool. That's always kind of like this idea of like, ideal to me, you know?
Hmm. Yeah, to me, that's like an attainable ideal. Like a real ideal for me would be
like a dream
bit
house.
Nicer, yeah.
Okay.
But also, I mean, like, what about the inside? Would you just cover it in dolls if you could?
No, I mean, I would have a room. I'd have like an office or a room where it would just all be in there. And
you
then,
have,
yeah, I would
you
just
have two
do
rooms
it.
Already.
I would just do it, you know, probably.
Just going to fly right by that one?
Yeah, because you know what? You've dug enough into that on this episode. But I would definitely probably upscale it a little bit. I think we have nice furniture and stuff. I think I'd like to probably carry it over to another place, but I think also your house has to have elements of you in it too. So
yeah,
however that would be peppered in, I'd love to see that.
Yeah, that's tough. I don't feel like I have a design bone in my body, so anyway. All right,
last one. Give
oh,
it a pull
one more? All right.
Yeah, let's do one more.
What would you like old age to look like?
Probably like what your parents are doing. A nice retirement. I can do whatever the hell I want every day. Who knows? Maybe I'll take up golf. Be healthy. Be fit. I'd like to, obviously, at the time, spend more time with my family, travel, and be wiser.
Hmm. Well, that, I feel like you just gave everybody's answer. That's definitely what I think old age should look like.
Well, there we go. That'll be our old age. And I'm hoping we all make it to old age. And in that regard, I hope everybody that is in an older age is being safe. What do you think? We should round it off, right?
Yeah, let's.
Well, thank you for listening to another episode of the show. Again, I will post up all the things we've either played or talked about best I can in the show description. I really do hope everybody is doing well and staying safe. I know we got a bit longer for this thing to kind of blow over, so hopefully everybody can hang tight. Again, thanks for listening. I want to take us out on a song that we talked about this week. I feel like this is a song or a song like it that needs to be made nowadays to lift everybody's spirits up. I'm going to take us out on that 80s Bobby McFerrin classic, Don't Worry, Be Happy, because I feel that's a powerful message that everybody needs to know and live by. So,
and did he die recently?
No, Bobby McFerrin is not dead.
What?
No, he's alive. I hope he didn't die. God,
I'm going to Google this right now.
Good Lord. Well, that would be timely. Catherine's going to Google if Bobby McFerrin died. Alrighty. Well, thank you so much again for listening. I'm Tom here with Catherine.
Bye.
Is he alive or dead? You leave us hanging.
Alive?
Thank God. All right. Well, here's Bobby McFerrin. Don't worry, be happy. Who is very much alive. Thanks a lot, and we'll see you next time. Stay safe.
Here's a little song I wrote. You might want to sing it note for note. Don't worry, be happy. In every life we have some trouble, but when you worry you make it double. Don't worry, be happy. Don't worry, be happy now.